Tonight we come to Romans chapter 13. In just a moment, I want to begin in verse number 11. Tonight I want to speak to you on this subject. It is time to awake out of sleep. It is time to awake out of sleep. Now, let me ask you a question this evening, and I don't know if this is true of your life. And just be honest, it's no big deal tonight. I won't judge. Don't judge me, all right? how many has ever sleptwalked in your life? Would you raise your hand and hold it high? That is a staggering amount of people. That's scary, you know? And, let me tell you this. Sleepwalking has been a difficult thing for me when I was much younger. In fact, my dad at one time, my dad was a Southern Baptist pastor, and that's how we kind of grew up. And of course, God led us to an independent Baptist church years and years ago. But I could still remember one day, I used to always sit on the front row. My dad was preaching and all of that, and I'd sit on the front row. My mom would sit a couple of rows back with my two sisters. I was safer to be up there, you know. And so, but all I know is that one day during a service, my mom tells me that while my dad's preaching away, thundering God's word, his son stands up and starts walking around the church, sleepwalking, all right? I fell asleep in church, and and I was just young. I was 8-9 years of age, and so I was sleepwalking. I was making laps in the church, you know. And my mom says that finally, on one time, she reached out and grabbed me and pulled me into the seat, you know. And I don't remember any of it. I was just sleepwalking. And I really had a scare during a kid. I went through a time when I just sleptwalk all the time. In fact, I told my dad, I said, "Hey, Dad, do something to the doors because keep me in the house." I felt like I was a werewolf or something, you know. I don't want to get outside, you know. But I can remember waking up in my treehouse in our backyard in the middle of the night. Oftentimes, I would wake up in the front yard, my dog right there beside me. I'd wake up and be like, "Whoa, what's going on?" You know, and run back in the house, you know. One time, they tell me, and I woke up at my friend's house in the next neighborhood above me, and I woke up standing there. I can just barely remember it, and they said I had rung the doorbell 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and the man comes to the door, and I'm standing there in my PJs, praise God, you know, and my friend's dad comes to the door, and he says, "Aaron, what are you doing?" I don't remember that. They're telling me this. And I said, "Can John come out and play?" You know, it's like 3 or 4 in the morning, you know. And I do remember waking up and I'm like, I'm in trouble, you know. And so I took off and ran back to my house and got in the house and got in my bed. Next thing I know, my dad comes in there and said, "Son, what are you doing?" I said, "I don't know, Dad." You know, I'm like strange or something. Now, what's funny about that is my younger sister used to sleepwalk a couple of times. And all I remember, one night, I don't know, it was late, 1-2 in the morning, I heard someone pounding on the front door. Just pounding. And so I kind of sneak in the hallway. I've got my BB gun, you know, because that's really good. And someone is pounding on the front door, and the back door is wide open. I'm like, this is weird, you know, what's going on? So I like open the door, and it's got a chain on it, and my sister's there crying and says, "Aaron, let me in." And I open the door, and she said, "Why didn't you let me in?" I said, "Because I didn't know who you were, you know." And so she had sleptwalked, went out the back door, woke up in the front yard, and so we have a strange family, all right? But and now some of our children have sleptwalked before, you know. But my mom and dad told me one night that I sleptwalked into the room holding my BB gun, you know. And they said they woke up and I was standing at the end of their bed holding my BB gun, you know. I think I was mad at them or something, you know. But let me tell you this tonight, all right. Thank the Lord I grew out of that. Praise God. He gave me deliverance, you know, from sleepwalking. But the truth of the matter is, in our text tonight, the Apostle Paul paints an analogy of awaking out of sleep. Now, it's not really talking about someone sleepwalking, but I think it is a good picture. When I would sleepwalk, or maybe you've done it before, you don't know what you're doing in a sense. You're asleep, but yet you're moving and you're going, but you're not really awake. And the analogy that Paul gives us in Romans chapter 13, He says, it is high time to awake out of sleep. And the picture that Paul is painting is a group of soldiers. And they are sleeping at night. Now, by the way, as you can imagine, the soldiers have taken off their armor because it's not comfortable to sleep in their armor and their breastplate of righteousness and having the shield of faith and all of that. And they have laid all of that aside and they are resting. They are sleeping. They're fatigued in the battle. And Paul says it is time to awake out of sleep because the warfare is ahead of you. May I say to you that there are times in all of our lives when I believe the devil kind of woos us to sleep, per se. We are moving through life. We're going through the motions, per se. We are doing our duties and our responsibilities, but we are not awake to what God has for us in our lives. Look here. There are times when you get out of the Word of God and get out of prayer. There are times when you can even come to church and you're just doing what you need to be doing, but you're not really awake for the Lord. Brethren, tonight it is time to awake out of sleep. Romans chapter 13, we begin in verse number 11. The Bible says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12 of Romans 13, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How many before has ever woke up and you looked at the clock, or you looked at your watch or your phone, and you said, I didn't know it was this late. It's time to get out of bed. How many's ever had that happen to you? Yes, we all have. We've all come to times when we're like, I didn't realize the time. I didn't recognize what time it really was. Well, number one, tonight, we must realize what time it really is. Paul, in a sense, says, he says here, and that knowing the time, do you know what time it is? Well, the idea is that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing nigh. In fact, the Bible says that we are to live with the imminent return of Jesus Christ on our hearts and on our minds. We are to live as if Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Now, first and foremost, we need to make sure that we are saved, that we are children of God by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That prepares us for the coming of the Lord. But are you ready? Are you living for Christ day by day? I never forget, many times my parents would leave us children at home and we were much older, and they would say, we're coming back at such and such time. And I always thought that I could wait to get everything done about 10 minutes before they got there. Or maybe I would come back home when they told me not to leave home, and I would be right there and act like a good guy and all of that and no problem. Well, sometimes my parents would come at unawares. Do you believe they did that to me? But anyway, they would come before they said they would come. And I was not ready for their coming. Brethren, tonight we need to realize the time. I do not know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, but I know this, it is getting closer each and every day. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 9. And we must realize the time. It is easy to drift into slothfulness as a child of God. Now, you may work hard on your job, and I believe that a Christian should be the hardest worker on the job, should be a man or a woman of integrity, should put a full day's work in for a full day's pay. They should be of honesty in every way. But folks, as a child of God, we must not be slothful in our Christian life. It's easy to become slothful. It's easy to let things slip. It's easy to let sin slide in our life. We must realize the time that Jesus is coming back. And that is what Paul is saying. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And he says this, our salvation is nearer than when we believe. The ideal there is not that it's time for us to get saved, although if you don't know Christ as your Savior, it is time for you to get saved. But the fulfillment of our salvation, when Jesus returns again, is nearer than when we first believed. I know this. I got saved when I was 17 years of age, came to know the Lord as my Savior. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I know it's a whole lot closer than it was yesterday. And brethren, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Proverbs 18, verse 9 says this, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. In fact, Proverbs 19, would you look what the Bible says in chapter 19 and verse 15? You see, when we are slothful about the work of the Lord, we waste opportunities. I don't know about you, but there have been days that I have looked back and said that was a wasted day. And oftentimes it's because I was slothful. I was not diligent doing what God wanted me to do that day. Proverbs 19:15 says this, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. God wants his children to be ready and prepared as a soldier, and the alarm has sounded, and we are ready and prepared day by day to do what God has given us to do. Someone said that idle time is the devil's workshop. I believe that's true. Because when we are idle and we have no purpose and we are not doing anything, can I tell you what happens? We are wasting time. May God help us to realize what time it is. Can I say this to you simply tonight? Tonight is the night to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Tonight is the night to confess your sin to God and to be clean and right before the Lord. Tonight is the night to follow Jesus Christ and to be obedient to Him. Tonight is the night to be fully surrendered to the Lord. Sometimes we think, well, God, I'll do that later on and one day I'll do that. No, tonight is the night. Realize the time. Number two, I want you to notice this, and I'm leading up to something here. Not only should we realize the time, but we must remove the sin. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 13, because I want to show you the emphasis that God places here in this passage. Remove the sin. Now notice this. Romans chapter 13, and we look in verse number 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore, because Jesus is coming soon, because we cannot waste a day, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Brother, may I say this to you tonight, that God has called upon each and every one of us. We are children of light. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God, but you are, as the Bible says, you are children of the day. You're children of the light. You see, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love darkness to cover their sin, to hide their sin. But we are not children of darkness. We are children of light. The Lord has saved us, and we now know the Lord is our Savior. We are to cast off the works of darkness. Now, let me show you some things here tonight, because I pray that God can help us as we study this. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 5. Now, the ideal is that we are to cast off the works of darkness. Now, the word cast off is removing a piece of clothing that is dirty or tainted. We're to cast it off. I remember years ago, I was learning how to put gasoline in a vehicle. You have to learn how to do that. You know that? I mean, there's a science to it, I guess. But anyway, I was just a teenager, and my mom said, hey, son, get out and pump the gas. And wow, that was great, you know? And so I put the gas in there, and boy, I was pumping and everything was good. And then it was the old type where you had to kind of shut the gas tank off or the gas pump off and then let the rest of it drain out. I didn't know about that, you know? So I left it running and I pulled it out. I got gas all over my pants. I mean, just, and you know what gas, I mean, it just smells so bad. I remember my mom said, "Son, what'd you do?" I spilled it, you know, and had it all over me. We literally had to go to a store and buy a pair of pants because those had to be cast off. And in fact, everywhere I went, people said, "Smells like gas around here." It's me, you know, I'm it. Just blame it on me. Wanted to wear a sign. I smell like gas, you know. And so just leave it like that. That had to be cast off. It had to be removed in order for something clean to be put on. The analogy here, when the Bible says that we are to cast off the works of darkness, it refers to a piece of clothing that is dirty. It is tainted. It does not belong on you. And as those pants that had gasoline on them, there was nothing to do but to remove them and to discard them. And brethren, tonight, as children of light, God has called us to recognize the time and to remove the sin, the works of darkness from our life. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look in verse number 8. The Bible says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." You know that God calls us that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know something, by the way, if you live in the light, some people are not going to like that because you shed light on their works of darkness. And men love darkness rather than light. But brethren, God has called us. Listen, if there are any things in your life that is causing you to have fellowship with the works of darkness, and by the way, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If you have to hide it, it's not of God. If you have to cover it, it's not of God. If you're ashamed of it, it is not of God. And by the way, that verse, "God is light and in Him is no darkness at all," has helped me in my life. There's times when the devil brings us into a valley of darkness, discouragement, despair. That's not of God. That is of the devil. The Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Praise God for that. We are to put off, to cast off the works of darkness. Take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 6 and look in verse number 12. The works of darkness. And by the way, I thank God that He has delivered us from the works of darkness. You and I do not have to live in darkness anymore because we have been called to be children of light. Ephesians 6:12 says this. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Would you take your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to notice this tonight. You say, "Pastor, what are the works of darkness?" I don't know that I could list every single thing for you, but I know this. Because you have the Spirit of God who indwells you, if you're a child of God tonight, the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of God will reveal to you the works of darkness. Look, what causes you to get away from the Lord? That's a work of darkness. What hinders your fellowship with Christ? That's a work of darkness. What hinders you to love the Lord and know the Lord and keeps you from the Word of God? It's a work of darkness. It must be cast off as we would take something and cast it from us. But look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. I love this verse. The Bible says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Can I tell you something tonight? I want to praise God that Jesus Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness. You do not have to live any longer therein. Listen, before I got saved, I obeyed the works of darkness. I lived in them because there was no light in me whatsoever. But when I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, then God gave me the Holy Spirit of God, and I was placed into the body of Christ. I became a child of God, and now indwelling me is Jesus Christ, who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And He has conquered, He has power over the works of darkness. Do you understand that when you and I are involved in the works of the darkness, we are living so far below where God has called us to live? We are children of light. The Bible says to cast off the works of darkness. Now, God gives us a list. And by the way, every time you find a list in the Bible, it's very important. And it's very important, the significance of the list and the way it comes to pass. Let's go back to Romans chapter 13. Notice what the Word of God says here. He gives us a list. We are to cast off the works of darkness. But by the way, you're to put on the armor of light. This morning early, when I spent time in God's Word, can I tell you what I did? I put on the armor of light. You see, being in the presence of Jesus Christ enables you to put on the armor of light. You remember Moses, when Moses was meeting with God face to face. You remember as Moses came off the mount, what did his face? His face shone because he was in the presence of a holy God. And brethren, when you and I are in the presence of God, and when we're walking with Him and spending time with Him and praying to Him and confessing our sin and calling on His name, we put on that armor of light. Let's read on. Look what the Bible says in verse 13. Let us walk honestly. And then it goes on to say, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. God gives us a list of what we should put off. All right. First, it talks about dishonesty. Is it not amazing that God begins right there? I wonder this evening, are you honest before God? Do you know that there is no such thing as secret sin to God? Now, David said for God to show him his secret sins, it was not that the sins were secret to God, they were secret to David. Do you know there's times in your life and my life that we don't even realize what sins we are committing? It might be the way we're treating a brother or sister in Christ. It might be the way that we are handling a situation. It might be something that we're not even aware of. Those are secret sins to us, but there is no such thing as secret sin to God. Go to Psalm chapter 139. I want to show you this evening. Brethren, we need to cast off dishonesty. You say, well, Pastor, what does that deal with? That means our dishonesty against God, seeking to hide things from God. But dishonesty, young people, to our parents, dishonesty to our boss, dishonesty maybe even on our taxes, dishonesty. I remember one time that the lady at the store, I was watching my dad, and she handed him a $5 more. I kind of thought, well, praise be to the Lord. You know, He's provided much more. But my dad said, oh, wait a minute, ma'am. You gave me too much money. I was hoping my dad would give it to me, you know, and just extra, the Lord's handful on blessing and all that. But my dad said, ma'am, here is $5. You gave me too much. And she said to him, sir, thank you. It's hard to find honest people anymore. You know what? For the child of God, honesty is not just something extra we do. It is what God has called us to do. And the Spirit of Christ indwells you. It is the Spirit of truth. We are to be honest with our spouses, honest kids to our parents, honest in our classes. School is beginning. Do you know how often we deal with dishonesty in our school? You say, Pastor, in our school, we deal with dishonesty? Absolutely. It might be in the gym. It might be on a test. It might be whether or not a child did their homework or not, you know? And all of these different things. Sometimes it is difficult to deal with dishonesty. But men and brethren tonight, are we honest before God? Psalm 139 says this, verse number 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows what we think and He knows why we think it. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Look in verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. You know what? God knows what we gossip about. God knows when we criticize. God knows when we murmur and complain. Brethren, tonight we are to cast off dishonesty. Dishonesty before God. Dishonesty before our friends and our family members. It is to be cast off. It is a work of darkness. But look at the second thing back in Romans chapter 13 that God gives us here. Now, I want to explain these words. These are sometimes words that we do not use a lot, but let me explain to them. The Bible uses the terminology, let us walk honestly as in the day. By the way, live in the day. Live in the light of the day. Nothing to hide. A man or a woman, a young person of integrity, wholeness, completeness. How many's ever been to Disney World before? Would you raise your hand? You know what's the most disappointing thing about Disney World? Most everything there is false. You know that? In fact, the castle, that's the big theme and the big, everybody sees the castle, but there's nothing really to it. It's just fake. I mean, you can't go up in the castle. There's no dragon around the castle. There's nothing like that. It's just fake. It's just a falsehood about it. But I wonder how many Christians, they look good on the outside. They talk good. They dress good. But there's no wholeness to their life. Walk as in the day. Nothing to hide. Nothing to conceal. We are honest before God. And Paul said it this way in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man. That's integrity. But God goes on to say something that we are to cast off is rioting and drunkenness. Now, let me explain this to you. Rioting and drunkenness during Paul's day, he was referring to often the riotous procession that men would parade through the streets, and they would have torches, and they would have loud music to their false gods, drinking and carousing. It was rioting and drunkenness. May I say this to you? We live in a day and time in which even people who call themselves Christians say it's okay for a Christian to drink alcohol. Brethren, the God's word clearly tells us that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In fact, may I tell you something? Nothing should take control of our bodies. When we are drunk with wine, we're in its excess, as the Bible tells us, it consumes our body. It takes control of us. In fact, it enslaves us and entraps us. This rioting and drunkenness. Paul says, listen, this is not for you. You used to be working the darkness, and you used to be men and women of darkness, but now that must be cast off. You're children of light now. You don't live in the darkness. You don't parade around the streets and parade to the false god and live a lifestyle that is not becoming to the child of God. Brethren, tonight, it must be cast off. Let's go on. Let's look what the Bible says. It goes on and uses this word, chambering. That's not a word, and maybe we don't even know what the word means, but it literally means this. It's any form of sexual impurity. Any form. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanliness. This deals with viewing things online that are dishonoring to God. Pornographic images. God's word is very clear. Any form of sexual impurity, chambering. In fact, the Bible says, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Brethren, God has called us as children of God. We are to walk in the day, not in the night. We are to cast these things aside of us. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ indwells you and me. We are to cast off the works of darkness. And by the way, the things that we are discussing here should never be laughed at. Is it not amazing today that we would say some of the greatest commercials out there are the Budweiser commercials? The most money is spent on that. By the way, They show you a happy man or a happy woman and everything is great. They do not show you the family that has been ruined and destroyed because of alcohol. They do not destroy you. They do not show you the destroyed lives because of that. They don't show you the drunk driver who's killed an innocent family. They don't show you those things. Why? Because they deceive you. They lie to you. And by the way, all of the devil's works of darkness are nothing but lies, promises of freedom and promises of liberty, when in fact he enslaves you and entraps you and ensnares you. Folks, tonight, you say, Pastor, this is written to the church? Yes. This is Paul's letter. He is writing here to this church at Rome, and Paul is saying here, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Paul is saying Jesus is coming again, and we must realize the time that it is time for us to live daily in the power of Jesus Christ. But also we are to remove these sins. Remove them. Folks, may God help us to be clean and pure in our thoughts, clean and pure in the things we put in our eyes and through our ears, and clean and pure with the words that we speak. No part of chambering. And then God uses the word wantedness. Now think of that word. It simply means shameless greed. It means wanting more and more. It is a person who acknowledges no restraints in their life. They desire more and more and more. And by the way, we think of a person that maybe is involved with drugs or whatever it may be. Their body wants more and more. There's no end to it. That's how the devil lies work. Shameless greed, wantedness. And then the Bible goes on to say, and by the way, a lot of those things would be outward sins, but then God goes deeper. And then he goes this. Not in chambering and wantedness, not in strife and envying. The word strife means arguing, complaining, griping, bickering with one another. You know, even in a family, you have to deal with strife, do you not? If you have children, you have to deal with strife. So often the kids want to argue among one another. There should be no strife allowed. So often could be on the job site that there's strife between coworkers and a battle goes on. Well, that's a work of darkness. But even in a local New Testament church, strife going on, bickering. Brethren, I'll tell you something. Let's argue about the doctrines of the Word of God. Most of the times, most of the problems in a church are just petty things that people get upset about and they want to strive over. May I say to you, strife must be cast off. It must be put aside. And then God uses the word envying. That's nothing but jealousy. Envying someone else. Jealous. Desiring what someone else has. God says these must be put aside. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go to Psalm chapter number 32 and verse number 5. Now may I say to you, the list that I just read to you is not a pleasant list whatsoever. But it is a list that the Lord has given to us. By the way, I'm reminded what the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are cleansed, you are sanctified. You know something? Can I tell you something? God works in our lives. He cleanses us and washes us and renews a right spirit within us. And brethren, a revival is a new beginning of obedience to God. You know something? You can leave this building tonight with revival in your heart, a personal revival, because of a new beginning of obedience to God as you cast off the works of darkness. You confess the sin and you forsake it. Psalm 32, verse number 1 says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Well, I love that verse. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you something? God has forgiven you and cleansed you of your past, present, and even your future sin. But look in verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That's dishonesty. You're hiding something. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Brethren, although you're a child of God, and the payment of your sin has been paid in full, we can break fellowship with our Heavenly Father. We can get out of fellowship and not be close and near to Him because of sin that we have allowed. The works of darkness, they must be cast off. How do you cast them off? Just like you take off the old dirty shirt. Just like you take off something. It is a personal decision to confess and to forsake your sin. Brethren, it is time to awake out of sleep. Number three, the last thing that we notice here tonight is not only do we realize the time and remove the sin, but we receive God's strength. Now go back to Romans chapter 13. I must show this to you. And I pray that God would help us by His power and Spirit. You think of the soldiers now. Paul is looking at them. It's nighttime. The day is getting ready to break. The day is at hand. And Paul says, hey, it's time to get up, soldiers. The battle is before you. Get your armor on. Get your swords. Get your shields. Get everything. It's time to wake up. Remove, cast off all of the works of darkness. You're children of light. Put on the armor of light. The analogy is true. But the greatest part of this is to receive God's strength. Look here. Every man and woman and boy and girl in this building tonight, if you're a Christian, you have no strength of your own. You have no strength. You have no strength to live the Christian life. You have no strength to cast off the works of darkness. You have no strength to live the Christian life in your own strength. You don't have it. Jesus said, John 15, for without me, ye can do nothing. So where is the power? Where is the ability? Where is that strength in the inner man? Romans chapter 13, look what the Bible says in verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, I must show this to you. Take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 3, and I want to show you. You say, Pastor, what does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You may say, well, Pastor, I thought that Christ indwelled me. Yes. I'd like to create an analogy for you to understand. How many at your house has a closet? Would you raise your hand? Praise God. How many of you, as a lady, the closet, let's say husband and wife, you share a closet. And when my wife and I share a closet. My wife gives me a little space in my closet, and I'm joking, all right? But let's be honest, all right? How many ladies would say you take up most of the closet with necessary items in your closet? Would you raise your hand? Hold it high. All right, yes, okay? And all the other ladies were maybe hiding. But anyway, all right? I'm just kidding with you, just joking. But anyway, let me say this. We all have closets in our houses. All of us do. In fact, closets are very important. We put things in them. And may I say to you, I think every day of my life, I go to a closet. I choose clothing. This morning, I went into a closet to choose a suit to put on. I choose clothing. But may I say to you that within the closet of your heart, every child of God here, in your closet hangs the new man and that old flesh. It hangs within your closet of your heart. You see, when I got saved, that flesh still indwells me. Brother, I wish it was that the flesh was removed and eradicated, but that is not true. I still have the flesh and you still have the flesh. That means this. Every person here tonight is capable of doing any sin because the flesh indwells you tonight. But thanks be to God, within the closet of my heart indwells the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know something? When I walk into a closet, I can choose to put on whatever I want to. It's my choice. And every day you live, and moment by moment you live, you choose to put on the flesh and dwell in the fulfillment of the flesh, or you choose to put on the new man, which is the Holy Spirit of God. every day we live. And the analogy that Paul says is, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He indwells you tonight. It is a personal decision that you choose to put on Christ and to walk in the Spirit. Now, go with me on this journey. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Notice what the Bible says. Galatians 3, 27. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, we must start right there. And go with me now to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm showing you something here. Now, tonight, the moment that you got saved, you were baptized. We're not talking about the waters of baptism. God placed you into the body of Jesus Christ. You put on Christ. Christ came to indwell you that very moment. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that means this, Christ indwells me. I have put on Christ when I became a child of God. But every day I live, and moment by moment that I live, I have to choose to put on the clothing of the new man. I have to choose to put on Christ. Look at the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse number 24. It says this. It says, and that you put on the new man. Now, let me start back in verse 22 because I want to show you this whole part. Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God tells us there, every day in the closet of your heart is the new man and it's the old man. Now let me tell you about the old man. The old man has the deceitful lust. The old man wants to sin. The old man wants to look at things that he should never look at. The old man wants to say things that he should never say. The old man wants to live in anger. The old man wants to live in bitterness. But the new man that indwells in the closet of my heart, the new man, can I tell you? The new man has the power and the ability to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. Look, brethren, do you know that every day I make a choice to put on the old man or to put on the new man? Putting on the new man is what it means to but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read on here. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse number 11. Look what the Bible says here. We read the verse beyond that, but let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says this. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We read this verse, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I'm going to read to you Colossians 3:10. Just listen, if you would, please. The Bible says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Brethren, may I say to you tonight, this morning, when I went to God in prayer, and I prayed for you, I prayed for pastor friends, and I prayed that God would bless in the service today. But not just that, I spent time worshiping the Lord and praising him for his wondrous character. And I spent time confessing my sin to God and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me sin in my life. I asked God to bless my family and my children, and I spent time in His Word encouraging my heart and building me up on my most holy faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Can I tell you what happened this morning? I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? Even throughout this day, can I tell you, that old man is still hanging within the closet of my heart. And that old man wants to do the wrong things. You say, pastor, you're a pastor. Yes, but I still have the old man, and so do you. And that old man is full of lust, and that old man wants to pull me back into the works of darkness. He wants to make me live. But look here. Here's the great news. Before I got saved, I had to obey the old man because he had control. But praise be to God, when Jesus Christ came to indwell me, he destroyed the works of the darkness. Now, I can live in darkness. I can do that. But it's a choice that I can put on the new man. I don't have to live there any longer. I can live right with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can live yielded to the Spirit of God, and He enables me to have victory. He enables me to have joy. He enables me. Oh, brethren, tonight, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here. Think of it this way. Here's the soldier. It's time to wake up. The battle is out there. And brethren, can I tell you something? The battle is before you and our children each and every day. We are in a warfare. We are on the combat field. Brethren, it is a warfare that we are in. And we have to be prepared. Guess what? When that soldier wakes up, it's going to take some work. I mean, it takes time. He's got to put on his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's got to put on that belt of truth. He's got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. He's got to get his sword. He's got to get it all together. It takes time. And it takes time for you and me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Time in the precious Word of God. Time learning to know Him and walk with Him and spend time with Him. Listen, you know what? When I hurry throughout the day and I've not given time to yield myself to Christ day by day, I've not put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when temptation comes to me, guess what? The old man's pretty strong. And the old man yields quickly. The old man is as wicked and as deceitful and as full of lust as you can ever imagine. But the new man indwells me. Brethren, day by day, we must put on the new man. And then God says this, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Look here. Don't provide. You know what the word provision there? It means thought in advance. You know, the truth of the matter is, you and I have no strength to live in the power of Jesus Christ. But brethren, don't make provision for the flesh. Look here. When you stay out of the house of God, can I tell you what you do? You provide to fall in the flesh. When you don't get in the Word of God daily, can I tell you what you do? You're making provision for the flesh. When you do not spend that time in prayer, prayer is what empowers us. It enables us to live the Christian life in strength as we spend time in prayer. We are making provision for the flesh. Let me give you a quick illustration. It's kind of like, what about a man that goes to the doctor? And the doctor says to him, he says, sir, I'm going to tell you something. You have to stop eating donuts. All right, I'm just joking here, but let me follow with me just for a moment, all right? And the man says, you're right. And the doctor says, look, it's going to kill you. And the man says, you're right. So he calls his pastor and he gets on the prayer chain so that he stops eating donuts, all right? And he goes to a donut deliverance class, all right, whatever that is, all right? And he tells his family about this. I mean, he's working at this hard and he's going to get deliverance. But can I tell you what the man starts to do? The man orders a subscription to a donut magazine, and it talks about all these beautiful, wonderful, tasty donuts. And he begins to look at them day by day. He starts listening to donut music, whatever that is, all right? And he starts, as he's driving to work and coming back, you know? And then he starts going to Tim Hortons. He's not going to get donuts. He's just getting coffee there, all right? And he's just going to look at them. Now, look, I could go on and on. But can I tell you, eventually the man's going to eat a donut. He's making provision for his flesh. Look here tonight. What are things that we are just providing for our flesh to be strong in? And tonight, listen, I want to put on Jesus Christ day by day. You must put on Jesus Christ. I can't do that for you. And listen, teenagers, your parents can't do that for you. Nobody can do it for you. It is a personal decision. As we open the closet in the morning and pull a piece of clothing out and we put it on that day, it is the same truth that day by day we put on Jesus Christ. And look, do we fall? Yes, we fail. Do we sin against God? Yes. But praise God, there is cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can confess our sin. In fact, the Bible talks about a man, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Listen, brother, there is forgiveness and cleansing and with Jesus Christ. But day by day, we must put on Christ. Today, can I ask you something? Are you sleepwalking as a Christian? Has the devil kind of wooed you to sleep? You don't realize what time it is. Let us wake and put on Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.